For 36 years, the Goldman Environmental Prize has celebrated everyday heroes who are showing us that every action has the power to turn apathy into positive change for the environment. Heroes like Bastiana Gurri and Olsi Nika, who helped create Europe's first Wild River National Park. Visit us at goldmanprize.org to discover the stories of this year's Goldman Environmental Prize winners. And learn how when it comes to protecting our planet, the doing makes the difference.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for members. Signature Select Classic Ham, shank half or whole, bone in while supplies last, just 89 cents per pound. Enjoy 1 pound strawberries or 6 ounce blueberries, raspberries, or blackberries. Buy two, get two free of equal or lesser value when you buy four. And mix and match Nabisco snack crackers, Ritz crackers, Cheetos, Doritos, Tostitos, or Sun Chips, selected varieties and sizes. Buy two, get two for free when you buy four. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
So we're going to be able to sit back and kind of look and say, what's the best thing to do for the Chicago Bears? And who's the best player that can impact?
Aller loads it in the back of the end zone. Jump ball for Tyler Warren. Touchdown.
Across the middle is Loveland. First down, Wolverines.
High snap. They give to Jensen. Bounces it to the left side, and he will walk into the end zone. Ashton Jensen, feeling the pressure. He gets dumped. Mason Graham.
We go to our Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today to talk NFL draft with a big name guest. It is Nate Tice joining us on the show. Nate Tice, of course, with Yahoo Sports. His podcast is the Football 301 show. You can watch Nate on Yahoo Sports Draft Live, which is streaming for the first three rounds on the Yahoo Sports website and app. You can use the Yahoo Sports app to chat about and react to each pick with fellow fans and Yahoo Sports experts throughout the draft. Nate, how are you?
I'm doing great. How are you guys doing? Big guess. That feels like a big promotion there. I don't know about that. I'll take medium small.
Are you kidding?
I'll take something like that.
Why are you trying to be
humble? There's a whole state of Wisconsin graphic. Like, I saw
it. Oh, yeah. That's right. I know. I got a certain demographic. I got certain counties I can carry, you know, if I'm on a ticket.
I love that. I love that that's the energy and attitude. I like the humility. Your humility only surpassed by your modesty. And, you know, those are things that we have to battle in within ourselves. But meanwhile, we're over here wondering what's going on with the NFL draft, specifically the top 10, not just because the Bears are at number 10 in the pecking order, but just because there hasn't been a trade as of yet. We understand people are starting to have conversations, but what is the likelihood that it stays where it is 1 through 10 with the same teams picking that are picking today, and it changes between now and Thursday?
Oh, I don't know if it'll change before Thursday, but I think on Thursday we're going to see that action. I do think that there is going to be some movement in the top 10, maybe just a small move, like a Patriots back a little bit, Jaguars back a little bit, but staying within maybe that top 12, 14 range. But, you know, maybe there's some inkling, some rumors about Sean Payton and the Broncos being interested if certain players are going there, falling into the top 10 or staying in the top 10, but falling maybe outside that top five. To me, doing math, that's like maybe Ashton Jeanty, you know, a running back for that a lot of teams have their eyes on. And I think the Broncos are very keen on finding a running back, but it is this math. And I think the Bears are another team that are getting talked about as a Jeanty possibility landing spot or possible landing spot. But I think that's just the math that everyone's trying to balance. You know, he's so talented, but it's a deep class. Do we have to be aggressive for him? But so I do think there is movement to maybe just answer your question in a short matter of time, as opposed to that extended answer.
Nate is also on Twitch while his camera battery allows. He's at twitch.tv/Chicago670 The Score. We just heard Ryan Poles say at Hallis Hall that he thinks this could get wild. And he was talking about the exchange of picks. He mentioned the second and the third rounds. What do you think of his assessment? GMs don't usually say that for no reason.
Yeah, they kind of give their hints, and you're always just like, why did you say that? And you try to reverse engineer what they want. But no, I think just this draft class in general, and I think there's a lack of consensus, but I think one consensus is that the meat of the talent is very much like a bell curve in this class, where it is heavily concentrated from that 10 to 50 range, maybe even 10 to 60, I would say, doing big boards and stuff, that it kind of just really a lot of guys tiered similarly, but not maybe that elite talent, but a lot of good. So I think just always when you hear what a GM says and like kind of speaks to a talent, but much like what the Browns are doing and Andrew Berry, just overly gushing about Travis Hunter. And you're always just kind of reverse engineering, like, why are you doing that? Why are you saying that? So I think you just always have to take what they're saying with either a grain of salt, but also just know they're saying it for a reason.
Look, it's lion season, but I'm telling the truth. I don't want the Bears jumping up to take Ashton Jeanty because of the depth that you spoke about, especially in the running back rooms. If you're looking around the country at what guys have done, I know Jeanty is seen as a generational talent, but I think there's other needs for the Bears. And if you're giving up draft capital, especially this year's draft capital, you're kind of going against the fact that you have, you know, three picks in the top part of this draft. Where do you see the likelihood of the Bears trying to trade up? And do you think that's a wise move?
I don't think they do trade up, because I think they're in a great spot, like in the weirdest way of picking at 10, that they can have certain talents possibly fall to them. Like maybe an alignment actually falls to them, and they want to just keep building up that line for just short-term and the long-term. You know, Will Campbell or Armand Mbau. Or if they just want to go, hey, let's just keep retooling the defense and adding youth there. Like Mykal Williams is a great fit for what Dennis Allen likes on the defense, you know, from Georgia. Other type, like Derek Harmon, a defense tackle from Oregon, makes a ton of sense for where the Bears are. I know they added Grady Jarrett, and they have other pieces along the defensive tackle in the defensive tackle spot. But I just think maybe injecting some real talent, real youth there, can also kind of just build a nice timeline where you're bridging what they have now, future, et cetera, et cetera. Then there's other spots. Tight end is another interesting position, like where they're sitting. I prefer Colson Loveland over Tyler Warren, but both make sense to where the Bears are at because of who they have on the roster. So I don't think they have to move up at all, because I think they can let decisions be made for them, if that makes sense. They can let one of these guys in this group fall to them and just kind of make the decision that way. And so I think they don't have to chase anything. And if Jeanty falls to them, go there. If they want to really make that move and really inject so much talent to the backfield, which I think would be really interesting. I do think they're set of interesting or an interesting team for Jeanty, but there are just so many interesting spots that the Bears could go, and the talent matches where they want to pick them.
Nate, you watch a lot of film. What stands out about Loveland to you over Warren?
The receiving ability is he is just so fluid for such a big build. He's a little bit younger. And also, when I broke them down and I got to compare them in a longer article, I expected Warren to be a better blocker right now. And maybe I had to project more for Loveland, you know, seeing that he's younger, he has longer arms, which, you know, typically means you can add a little bit of bulk to it and a bit of strength. That I came in and watched, you know, Michigan's offense, and I am watching Loveland be a better inline blocker. When I mean inline is what you think of a traditional tight end. You know, Mercedes Lewis is probably the ultimate example, a true Y inline tight end. So I think that ability, which I thought would be more of a projection, is more of a current strength of his game, which gets me excited. So he's younger than Warren. I think he has receiving ability that matches Warren. They just get to it in different ways, maybe not as dynamic after the catch, but I think his catching range and his route running is very good. But on top of it, that he can do the real tight end stuff. You don't have to hide him. So I just think you can just do, there's the potential to do more with Warren or with Loveland than Warren, which is kind of ironic because of how they were used in college. Like that Warren's versatility actually makes him more of a limited fit for certain teams, while Loveland, I think, can match a lot of teams, including the Bears. I'm just that more versatility and plus versatility I'm excited about with Loveland.
In 2009, 3 days before Halloween, a grisly crime stunned the seaport town of Anacortes, Washington.
I can only describe it as evil.
From 48 Hours, this is Train to Kill, the dog trainer, the heiress, and the bodyguard.
He couldn't control his obsession.
Who was the hunter and who was the hunted? Follow and listen to Train to Kill on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
At arm length, so you know where I'm going with this next. How much do you think that affects Will Campbell, especially with your background of studying offensive line?
He's fine. Like, that, it's all about how they mitigate it. You know, if some guys, it's like, wow, just time after time. Joe Tooney is a great example. So Joe Tooney is a phenomenal guard. He has to go out and tackle. He can do it in a pinch, but over time, the longer athletes in the NFL are just going to be able to bull rush him. It's just physics. No matter how good of an athlete you are. And some guys are able to mitigate it. Rashawn Slater is probably the best example currently. But again, that's like a lot of great technique. You have to be a really good athlete. Will Campbell is a good athlete, and he has good technique that I still think can improve a little bit. But what's really, I think the bonus with Will Campbell, and this is the term I've kind of said to that, what he brings to the table is he's a best five enabler, that he is going to let you have your best five linemen out there, no matter when you have injuries, no matter who you add in the future. That's the thing. You're not drafting these guys just for 2025. You're drafting them for the next 4 years, hopefully next 10 years. So that is you're trying to, what he could do and what he bring to the tables. No matter what, we can get our best five linemen out there. I think he has earned the shot to stay at tackle. Like, I think that he is able to mitigate it because he is a good athlete. And there's also the plus that seems to be a great locker room guy as well. And I think that's why no matter who takes Campbell, I think it's just like, yeah, it's a good pick, because no matter what, I think he could stick somewhere.
You're listening to Score Middays. Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris talking NFL draft with Nate Tice, Yahoo Sports NFL analyst and host of the Football 301 show. You can watch Nate on Yahoo Sports Draft Live, which is streaming for the first three rounds on the Yahoo Sports website and the app. You can also use the Yahoo Sports app to chat about and react to each pick with fellow fans and Yahoo Sports experts throughout the draft. Nate, looking at where the Bears are right now and the way that you're talking about these offensive linemen and the possibility that players that they might not have available to them now because of trades could fall to them, what do you think is the best scenario for the Bears at number 10? Like, the best wishing? I mean, to me, it's you get three quarterbacks going ahead of 10, you're probably going to have your pick of several guys.
Right. Well, if Will Campbell's there at 10, I think you sprint up and take him. Because of just where I think you just keep building up that offensive line to maximize it and always be a strength, which I think Ben Johnson is not, you know, indifferent towards. I think, but his background, he maybe is not directly a Sean Payton guy, but he has a lot of Sean Payton influences. And look at who invests into the offensive line more than anybody, Sean Payton. Even he keeps putting a hat on a hat on a hat on a hat. He doesn't care. So I think that would be a great move, because you're not just building for this year. You're building everything in the future for Caleb Williams and Joe Tooney's not going to be there forever. Jonah Jackson's availability is always going to be a question mark. He's a great player. It just is. So that's a guy that makes a ton of sense. If Armand, I would be interested what they would decide there and just say, hey, yeah, we want him at tackle, because I think he's more of a tackle only type of player. And then you're also moving him to the left side, which he has never played, or you're moving Darnell Wright over there, which I think he also has. Oh, no, he's played left in college a little bit, too. But again, you're moving a guy to the left side. So I think Campbell is a guy. I think, again, Loveland would be a really interesting choice to me, because I would want to see what Ben Johnson would do with that. If Chanty's there too, it would be also very fun. I think that the best move for the Bears would take would be a running back on day two, just because of the depth and just because of what I think they could do at 10. And then I would say, if I had to rank these, maybe Derek Harmon would be another one that I think would be a lot of fun, this defense.
Nate, in your film study, is there anybody that maybe stood out to you in a way that didn't before when it comes to your draft preparation?
Loveland would actually be, that's a lie. Loveland was a top 30 player for me. So, when I was going in, I was I was pleasantly surprised by Kyle Williams, receiver from Washington State. That'd be a guy that kind of came to mind as who I expected to like. And I actually was like, oh, I really, really like this guy. And then another receiver is Jalen Knoll, who I prefer size at positions. I prefer bigger players at positions. So Jalen Knoll as a teammate, Jaden Higgins, they're both at Iowa State. Jaden Higgins is a traditional big receiver, built like Brandon Marshall, just a big X receiver, while Jalen Knoll is a slot only player, you know, a player that just has to be on the inside, you have to use in certain ways. I thought going in that I would prefer Higgins, just kind of body types. Well, I'm glad I watched him, because Jalen Knoll, I think, is just phenomenal. My comparison for him is, what if Christian Kirk could block? where he is a slot guy, but he can be a field stretcher. He does a lot. He does some things after the catch as well. And also he has really good hands and he can block, which I think is a positive. My little problem with the Bears, I don't think it's a great match because I want to see what Roman Dunze does from the slot this year as a personal project or personal interest of the Bears. So maybe not the perfect match there, but that's a guy that was a pleasant surprise as the more I watched him and what I pictured going in.
When you look at the Bears in their fourth pick, much later, after the second round, we heard Ryan Poles explain to us that he thought that they could get three impact players with their first three picks and maybe four out of four. Do you see that with the way this draft and this talent pool, as you said, goes through maybe 50, maybe 60? I mean, can you get a guy who can be a starter at 71?
Well, yeah, I think if they say that's the spot that they target the running back, I think they're the big chunk of running backs in that range. I have 11 running backs with grades that I would take in the first three rounds. That's how it kind of translate. And I think that's kind of the consensus. People have about 10 to 12. And it would tie the record. The record since 2000 is 11 in 2008. And I think there is a chance that that many running backs go. But I think a lot of them go between picks 40 and 90, you know, or even 40 to 100. Like, I think that's the range, that second to third round, mid second round to third round range, where I think if you wait, you can still get a quality back if you stack your board correctly. Like the guys that I would love for this offense, Devin Neal from Kansas. I mean, that guy might be even there later. I'm just very high on him, but he's there at 71. Damian Martinez from Miami is another one at 71. Those are starters. Those are guys that can eat 10, 12, 15 carries a game and then split the backfield with DeAndre Swift and Rashawn Johnson, and that would make total sense. But absolutely, because the offensive line depth, there seems to be a lot of starter quality players in the late first to second round. There's defensive line depth in that range. Running backs already mentioned. So those are just the positions that you can add, like that I think there are starter quality guys. Maybe, again, not stars, but guys maybe that have upside, but really that just high floor type of players that you see in that range.
Nate, you mentioned Sean Payton, who's now, of course, with Denver, but it did make me think about his former team in New Orleans. They're the pick ahead of the Bears. I could see them trading up just given what they're dealing with from an injury standpoint. Do they have to draft a quarterback in this? Who do they take? If so, maybe they're one of the wild cards in this top 10 that could actually move up just based on need.
They're absolutely wild card because it's just the Saints. They kind of do everything to their own beat and kind of just, they're always just, all right, that's the Saints. All right, now on to the next team. So they have been hard to pigeonhole, I would say, as for when I've done 500 mock drafts, which have become a fun exercise, I will say. You just got to embrace it. But I would say the Saints, though, skill position, like a receiver, is not out of the question. Tatiori McMillan from Arizona, who I'm really bullish on. He is a guy that I've kind of, reading between the lines, they might go after. I think quarterback is they actually go on day two. I actually think that they really like Jackson Dart from Ole Miss, and they've kind of shown their cards that they really like him. Everybody going to his pro day. It is up the street from New Orleans, so I will say that. But all their offensive coaches going there, watching Jackson Dart perform on his pro day. I do think that is the guy they're keen on. But again, I think that's day two, not at the pick nine. I think pick nine is maybe offense, O-line, trenches of some way, or even Tatiori McMillan. Like, those are the guys that I think they're actually targeting at nine.
He's I feel like, moved up a lot of people's draft boards this past couple of weeks. What do you think caused him to maybe impress more people than initially?
McMillan?
Yes.
Or Dart?
Yeah, McMillan.
Oh,
yeah.
McMillan? Oh, I love McMillan. Yeah, I talked about that. I prefer receivers with size. I think that is... some splits. You know, there are some fellow members of media that are a bit lower on him. I think that there are questions. He's a basketball and volleyball player that happened to play football. So again, you know, tough guys in the NFL want to act like, you know, if you don't live and breathe football, that means you're going to be bad. But I think he's just supremely talented because his hand-eye coordination is just so good. He's a big receiver that plays big. And also comparing him to Higgins, you know, who I mentioned earlier, that was my issue with Higgins, was he's a former basketball player that, how many rebounds did you get? Like, that's why what I want to ask him, because it didn't play big. When I watch McMillan, though, he's 6'4", plays every bit of 6'4". T. Higgins is probably the appropriate comparison for him in a modern day receiver. But I even said that he has the upside of a guy like Larry Fitzgerald. Like, I mean that, because just as he doesn't have the burner speed, and that's the one knock on him. But the thing is he's a vertical threat because his ball skills are so good. So he can get those doubles and triples, 20 yarders, 25 yarders. And he's a fluid athlete. He's a good route runner already. And he's only a third year junior. Good route runner, big, plays big, but also can get yards after the catch. He's not some big stiff. So I just think he's just an easy guy to translate to the NFL because he's an X, which is so hard to find, those big receivers like a Brandon Marshall again, but he also has versatility to move around. So yeah, I'm super high on him. My conspiracy theory is that there's teams that are just trying to keep quiet on him. So they're trying to put stuff out there, but maybe I'm just talking to myself because I have him number three on my big board.
No, you're not the only one who likes him. I've seen his name several times this past week, specifically in mock drafts. Nate Tice, thanks for the knowledge and the information and just the perspective.
Thanks, Nate.
Oh, no, I appreciate it. Thank you, guys.
Thanks, Nate. We appreciate it.
That was Nate Tice. And like we said, you can check his work out on Yahoo Sports Football 301 show, and he is a part of that Yahoo Sports Draft Live broadcast and production they're putting on.
Speaking of draft, tune in Thursday night right here on 670 The Score from 6 to 9 p.m. for Draft Night on The Score. Mark Grody, Dave Wannstedt, Judson Richards running the three-man weave on that. The guys will be live as round one of the draft begins with live reports from House Hall and instant reaction to what the Bears decide to do with the 10th overall pick. That's this Thursday night from 6 to 9 p.m. right here on The Score and the Odyssey app. The show, it'll also be streamed on YouTube and Twitch.